context. May it be so. May we all be weavers of context, Caroline Casey. So here we be with much on our work table to puzzle over and wonder and divine. So it's fifth act time. This is from Octavia Butler. I'm going to introduce her spirit. You'll see. You'll hear in a moment. But the fifth act, as a friend of mine taught me a long time ago, the power of storytelling, and she said, part of what's wrong with the modern world is it's forgotten the five-act structure. Five acts is comedy, not ha-ha, but redemption. And four acts is tragedy. And she says, so much of our team ends with act four. You know, as Bertolt Brecht said in his fantastic essay, Five Obstacles to Telling the Truth, which I like to turn into Five Opportunities for Telling the Truth. But he says one of the main obstacles, opportunities, is the stories we tell. And he said, we got to quit bespelling ourselves and doing the work of the reality police for them, my words, kind of, but we're in accord, that we tell the story like we are good and we come up against tyranny and we are crushed, but we are good. And he says, we got to quit telling that story about how the good is weak as water is wet. So, five-act structure. Fifth act be our task, convening all skookum guides to good earth citizenship, living and ancestral. Octavia Butler's prescient novel, you'll hear in a minute, in a second, Parable of the Sower, written in 1993, begins on the full moon, July 21st, 2024. So, okay, we take it from there. Weaving the Republican convention, the strategy for now, you know, a story rewrite to include a fifth act. And I got this augury, so much wafting through the memosphere, from the brilliant Michio Kakutani. And he says, to repeat, Octavia Butler's 1993 dystopian novel, Parable of the Sower, begins in July of 2024, but I'm on it. It's like I have her on Kindle and Audible right now, and it was last night, and I'm going to keep going, Octavia. I'm going to keep going, Octavia, because I've always felt kinned. I've had dreams of talking with, I mean, all kinds of stuff, but it's like, okay, Octavia, we need you now, and we need you to help us with the fifth act. So it begins, and last night as I was listening, it says, you know, Sunday, July 21st, 2024. I've been looking at that, well, maybe all of us, because it's the full moon. It's the Capricorn Cancer full moon. It's the necessity to wed the false estrangement of external governmental and leadership structure with what we need, which is life, you know, protection of life. And I rarely guess sun signs, but I guessed Jose Andres going, I bet he's a Cancer, providing nourishment to the world. Oh, he is. I'm reading Octavia Butler, where it starts off with her hyper-empathic heroine. I go, ooh, I bet she's a Cancer. She is. We're going to dive in a little bit to summon her and honor her and the guidance. June 22nd, 1947, she's born exactly on the summer solstice, right? So it begins on this full moon. And she is an incarnational agent of Big Mama, Octavia, right? So, it begins on July 21st, 2024, and in the novel, climate change is turning the globe into a hellscape with droughts, fires, and calamitous weather events. Racial and class inequities have soared. Women's rights are under threat, and white nationalism and radical fundamentalism are taking hold. In the book's sequel, I can't wait. Parable of the Talents, published in 1998, a presidential candidate named Jarrett, who wants to purge the country of those who don't share his brand of militant Christianity, issues this call, help us to make America great again. Right? Prescient, spooky, right? His opponent, Smith, is right when he calls him out as a demagogue, a rabble-rouser, and a hypocrite. But Smith is such a tired, gray shadow of a man that Jared is able to scare, divide, and bully people into electing him and quickly sets about implementing his fascist agenda. Pretty amazing, right? I mean, it's But that's why we go, story rewrite. That's a great, you know, great act four. Thank you. You handed us act four, Octavia Butler. We want to honor you and how your chart is coming alive now, even though she died in 2007, bless her heart. But her chart, June 22nd, 1947, in Pasadena, California, is hopping. Her Mars is 23 Taurus. Uranus is going forwards and backwards over that. That's the same degree as the Israeli sun, S-U-N. We go, ooh, big changes. And how shall we align with liberating changes, we wonder. And I just want to... So people's charts, you know, come alive after death, you know, going, whew, with super pertinence. And just to honor, again, what she is conveying to us and a whole new sweep of people interested. And I think we're going to experiment with taking callers this hour just for fun, because it's me and Octavia and the ghosts, you know. But especially if you have a knowledge and an affinity and a love of Octavia Butler, and maybe a quote or two, that would be great. So we're going to put things on the table. But you know the call-in number, 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008. But with our Saturn criterion, positive storytelling, critique of all that is like, positive storytelling, but especially the first callers, if you love Octavia Butler and you want to give voice to something that she would give to us all now, that would be super wonderful. Okay, well, we're playing here. So we will honor her. And so she has, you know, Sun square Neptune, like Carl Jung, which is a lifelong wondering about what is real and what is illusion, and how are we bamboozled, and how do we cultivate a mythological participation in the world to de-bamboozle everything. There's some great ancestors we want to invoke. I want to invoke Stanislaw Lem and Philip K. Dick. Stanislaw Lem was a great inspiration to Philip K. Dick. These are dystopian with a lot of liberating irony and humor. And then just as a side, you know, The Futurological Congress by Stanislaw Lem. I have it on CD somewhere. We'll aspire to play some of it, you know, in future soon times, because it's going to be pertinent forever. But it's a genius novel. It was written, I think, in the mid-early 70s, you know, but it could be now. So it's a world, according to Stanislaw Lem, where everybody is on mask-ons. Pharmaceuticals that are in the water, in the air, in doorknobs you touch, you know, people are kind of okay with that. But also it's a completely pharmaceutical culture. For any feeling you want to have, if you want to be literary, you take Proustiac. If you want to be enraged, you take Furiol, and so on, right? And by happenstance, the protagonist, by mistake, takes the antidote. Feel this for all of us, team, and sees how things actually are. Like, whoa, no, it's not this wealthy thing. It's, you know, rats eating whatever is in alleyways. It's like he sees it, right? Anyway, it goes on, right? I'm pretty sure it's got redemption, but it's got irony, liberating, witty, insightful irony the whole way through, which is kind of how redemption gets woven in. Remember, since we're honoring storytelling this hour, in all of us, we will unfurl the why, and just to have it resonate in all of us, you know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. So, power of storytelling. How do we tell the story? And may we be dedicated to the five-act structure. My friend who taught me so long ago says, basically, act one is here we are. Act two is away. Woo. Act three is oops. Uh-oh. Act four is evil. Woo. Where the up-to-no-good characters appear to be winning. And act five is the redemption. The wedding, the sending forth, go forth and be woofy, the culture of reverent ingenuity against all odds, emerging from the rubble. We're going for that. But part of, again, what my friend mentor had told me is that, you know, some people in the modern world end with Act Four, you know, kind of oppression. Some people try and skip Act Four, right, and tack on a happy ending. No, you can't do that. We're doing it now. We got to earn Act Five. You got to all the way down to like, ooh, you know, and we're there. It can always get worse, right? I mean, that's right, but better at the same time, and let everything serve as incentive to experiment and connect and cultivate and set our standards, you know. Just to honor Octavia, and then since she guided us to this full moon, quite specifically, you know, because I heard it last night on the audio version of the parable of the sower, you know, it's Sunday, July 21st, 2024. She wrote in the early 90s, right? And so we'll take a look at that. Being a lunar person herself, and also it's a very specific date. And we follow all clues. So in her chart, don't have her birth time, but she has important things for us to pay attention to. Not only the Sun square Neptune, what is real and what is not. It's what Carl Jung had, a lifelong exploration of the power of symbols and the power of story, right? So she also has that Mars at 23 Taurus that Uranus is on right now, her one Earth planet, but her kinship, her... I feel a lot of kinship. She lived alone, but felt great concern for others, and for the natural world, right? And, you know, who do we want to invite in now, you know, with Octavia Butler? And I have some ideas, and please suggest other people that we want now. We'll be going to Harriet Tubman, going, come in, stalwart, strong women. Jupiter right now in the sky is in what's called its retrograde shadow, meaning it is at 11 plus Gemini, whose Sabian symbol, moon, is, you know, a black woman boldly asserts herself. And we'll go, okay, this is going to be the powerful theme through into 2025, because Jupiter is now at 11 plus Gemini, powerful woman boldly asserts herself. And we go, Yes, if anything's going to save us, that's it. And then Jupiter's at 11 Gemini now. It'll go all the way up to station at 21 degrees of Gemini, trining my sun. And then it will retrograde and station through our election and into next year at 11 Gemini, where it is now. So just one thing to say, or to feel, or to entertain, you know, going, power of storytelling, let's honor everybody, but let's especially honor powerful black women, all people boldly asserting themselves, right? So Octavia's chart, her Mars has a 135 degree angle to Neptune, which is about awareness of the danger of being bamboozled. This is so, well, it's probably always pertinent, but especially now, right? And she has a number of these, what's called sesquiquadrates, 135-degree angles, going awareness of danger and the power of storytelling to guide us through. So Octavia Butler was giving us, you know, look at this, right? And I'm reading it. I'm catching up with myself, right? And encouraging everybody. We could have a whole Octavia Butler, you know, salon, to honor her, to Ouija board contact her, to, you know, whatever we feel like doing. She has quintiles. This is a woman, Octavia Butler, who really knows about the power of symbols and metaphors, to not leave the power of imagination and wondering and speculation to the dementors. This is very big, as we have so much on our work table to wonder about. Her Mercury quintiles Neptune, irresistible eloquence, and as my friend Sylvia Hanley says, and it's the capacity to open portals between worlds. She does that. So I for decades, you know, have admired Octavia Butler's creativity, competence, discipline, ambition. It's like, whoa, she worked hard. She got up early. She wrote late. She lived alone. She loved animals. And we go, ooh. And then just a little bit more, her Mars, which has the 135-degree angle to Neptune, beware of bamboozling, it quintiles Saturn, the importance of positive, powerful leadership for all of us. And part of the model in all of us, in this beautiful language of astrology, in which each one of us has our own weird tudri, but connected by, there's a thin membrane we call identity that connects us to the whole great, huge, pulsing thing. So Saturn represents leadership, how we define things, governance, and it's because it's that, it's the one part of all of us we most tend to outsource to insane sociopaths or anything that makes us cringe, right? Anything that makes us frightened, like, ooh. And we'll turn to Heather Cox Richardson, who's like, no, no, citizens, rise up, do not be frightened, be dedicated. We go, yes, citizenship is arising. Despite the Democrats, the alleged Democrats, I'm with AOC and the squad and Bernie and the Black Congressional Caucus and Stacey Abrams, and we'll come to that in the fullness of time. But open portals between worlds. Oh, there we go. That's where they're. And similarly, wherever there's danger, she's got an opening. And much novels, bless her, fairy tales, give us things to fend off bamboozling. And we use everything, the serious and the playful and the seriously playful. We love that. We love, again, keeping ourselves jaunty no matter what. I love the word rollicking. It's from frolic and romp, right? Rollicking. There we go. So for each one of us who insources our Saturn, it's our sturdy mountain goat, our own self-possession, our governance, how we define things, how we describe things, what we're dedicated to, what we're focused on. Inhaling that, it sucks the chi out of authoritarianism, which there'll be a big festival tonight. That's right. That's the last day of the Republican convention. There we go. At 9:03 p.m., Kid Rock might be introducing Trump, who Trump is scheduled to be there at 9:09 p.m. Central Time. Quirky. Introduced by the ultimate fighting championship CEO somebody. Preceded by Eric Trump, so Senior Trump gets a nap there, Mike Pompeo, Tucker Carlson, and Hulk Hogan. There we have it. Oh, God, okay, there's that over there. And then I'm just, honoring Octavia. I think I'm going to keep doing this, for a long time, that quality of, inviting in. And so let's put more fun things on the table. But if you have something about Octavia Butler, how she's been dear to you, or you know the novels really well, which I don't yet, we're just being guided, do feel free to call in with an Octavia Butler rave, 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008. We'll give it a try. So since Octavia Butler starts her novel on July 21st, 2024, Sunday, and it is a full moon. Well, let's look at that full moon, and dedicate. We cooperate. Magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, and we go, ooh, okay. So, it is a full moon at 29 degrees of Cancer. The sun at 29 degrees of Cancer. Opposite the moon at 29 Capricorn. Now, I really appreciate Daniel Gemario over the years saying the earliest image for the moon in Capricorn is the Council of Wise Women dedicated to the next seven generations. And we go, yeah, all right, let's see that. Let's see them coming in. Let's invite in, all the help possible, all agents of democracy and agents of protecting life, because the Saturn agency in government, when we get to the Supreme Court, is really being stripped from us. As we know, You know, and this is part of our dedication to be informed storytellers about Project 2025. You know, that it strips regulations away from the federal government. It's really against the New Deal, which really began in Wisconsin, and there they are. You know, it's the dismantling of Obamacare, dismantling of HHS, all forced into private health care, including elderly people, right? So no Medicare, right? I mean, this is the, you got gutting and eliminating enforcement at the EPA, you know, no longer holding corporations accountable. This is, I have to fact check this, it was in somebody's story, Department of Labor will track women's fertility cycles. It's very Christian. We'll double check. But it's close to that. It's close to that. We'll certainly play with that. And then just back to good. Well, here's an Octavia Butler enthusiast. Perhaps it's Matt in Richmond. Come in, Matt.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
A little bit. Yeah. Yep. I'll turn up my volume. Yes.
Hey, I'll try to be a little bit louder. I just want to thank you for raising Octavia Butler up in this moment when we are all thinking about what the future looks like. Her work has been very influential on my thinking in terms of the near future and the climate future. I actually just wanted to recommend that people check out an organization that's really taken her vision for what's coming to heart and is trying to build community resilience under the banner of climate survival, essentially building the resilient communities that we're going to need for the long term. There's also a organization called Earthseed, after her vision in one of her books, The Parable of the Sower, about the Earthseed community. And I've got some people who I know who are very involved in that. So her books are actually changing the landscape. And people are using them as a guide to how to orient to the current, present, and the near-term future.
That's great. And also, if you would be so good as to email me, info@coyotenetworknews.com, with that, with Group Seed and the link, we will spread it everywhere, like the seeds. We will diaspora.
Yeah, I will. And it's Earthbeat.
Okay, Earthbeat.
Thank you so much for your work.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your dedicated work. No, it's dedicated citizens. Again, you know, we compost those hoodwinking the narrative into insane narratives, although we entertain possibilities and look at everything. But yeah, it's everybody's dedication. And dedication is the antidote to tyranny. That's just part of our dynamic. Here's Roscoe in Sebastopol. What fun.
Welcome. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for introducing her or reintroducing her to a public. I just finished Parable of the Sower about 2 months ago. It scared our book club so much that the only people that showed up for the actual conversation was the organizer and myself. So I consider that book a teaching nightmare that we can all learn from. And the phrase from it, and I'll leave you with this, that I love and I use often, that Octavia used a lot, God is change. God is change.
Ah, that's great.
So I love that. Anyway.
Right. No, thank you. I mean, I had tiptoed into her work back in the 90s and going, oh, it's a little bleak. It is. But now it's kind of an energetic match, not to be overwhelmed. But yeah, God has changed. God has changed. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Roscoe. And Tess in San Francisco, welcome.
Hi. I've read almost every book she wrote. And yes, Parable of the Sower. Read this follow-up book. But what I don't like about those books is, you know, our destiny is in the stars. Hey, let's take care of the planet we got. And
right.
I see in a lot of her semi-science fiction-y ones, she's talking about connecting with people who are different or life forms that are different and finding something in common. And I especially like the vampire book.
Oh,
that's all.
Okay. That's wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Tess. That's useful. Yeah, it is. Blake, and she was inspired by Doris Lessing, whom I love dearly. Also Blake, but realistically, appropriately Blake. Well, you know, these are our artists of Act Four, and we need them. And it hands all of us the baton. I mean, you got to go to Act Four, like, oh, you know, in order to earn and craft Act Five. And may it be that Act Five now, this historic, powerful, cuckoo, scary, dedicated time, be the largest, as you mentioned, Tess, the largest, most diverse, most different, most inclusive, like everybody. And that, you know, doesn't include the orthodox Democrats. You know, I've been delighted to unsubscribe from the New York Times and to unsubscribe from the Washington Post and to stop looking at MSNBC, except for Lawrence sometimes. And then there's a whole lot of, you know, Democrats in which it's like, all right, we're all getting freed up from where we were snookered, some of us, you know, and again, everybody's got a different take and we welcome that, you know, but it's like, you know, I was saying to ally, you know, Pat Ewing, we're doing all kinds of good Monday night trickster councils, having these conversations about strategy, but going, oh, Adam Schiff, you know, okay. And she said, I know Adam Schiff. And it really should have been Katie Porter. Like California, right, it really was rigged, right? Katie Porter, wonderful. Adam Schiff, power hungry, you know, whatever, Dementor. We go, uh-huh. And Schumer, you know, all calling for Biden to step aside. And people have many, many opinions and all of that. However, let's just breathe deeply and breathe with Octavia, you know, and where's our best chance? But one of the things that Did You Know, remember, is so effective. May we all be storytellers of information and putting things out there, since the conventional mainstream is increasingly, I mean, always has been, but increasingly chi-sucking, distracting, you know, bamboozling, and whatever. So to put it out there and to say, did you know that the Heritage Foundation is already working on lawsuits to keep any Biden replacement off the ballot, starting with battleground states, right? Did you know that? And they'll be very happy to take it to the Supreme Court. So it's like, just everybody put that in your pipe and smoke it. Just, there's a thing. There we go. You know, and then, you know, staying with Octavia for a while, well, forever, really. Hi there. And Doris Lessing. And Doris Lessing had some Act Five, but in her novel Shikasta, which is great, I don't know that one needs to read it now because we're in it now, but Shikasta is her name for the planet Earth. And she posits three colonizing forces, right? So there's the Syrians, who are like the World Bank. They, you know, do experiments, they're heartless, they move on, but they're kind of liberal, you know. There's Shamat. And Shamat feeds on conflict, and it feeds on the hum of the nuclear power plant, and the rough music of the tyrant and the mob mind and the tyrant, all of that. And then there's the wise Canopians, and they say, we have no plans. It's very Cancer. It's very Octavia Butler. It's very what this country should be. It's very Cancerian. We have no plans. We simply feel what is needed and respond. And in all the world and in all time, we have never dealt with failure. There's been tragedy and disaster, but we've always pulled up as we feel what's needed and respond. And we go, oh, that's really good. That's really good. You know, in honor of the Republican convention tonight, we have a special break music just to maintain our jauntiness. And remember, think of this as introducing the Republican convention tonight, which will be Eric Trump, and Trump Sr. will be sleeping as he's done before, Mike Pompeo, Tucker Carlson, Hulk Hogan. It's all theater, and it's all, well, we'll come back on that too. You know, and then Trump will be speaking. Kid Rock will introduce him at 9:03, maybe, you know, and Trump will speak at 9:09 p.m. Central Time, Nine Steps to the Underworld. But here's our break music, and just everybody dance to it, and this is what we have to say to tyranny. Here we go. Stop.
Hey, y'all. Listen. Last night, I was from the cats in the van. And we were having a good time, you know. We had this little blackjack game going on, you know what I mean? And I somehow got lucky. And every time I tried to leave, they kept yelling at me. You know, they want to get their money back. So I stayed there until I had all of it. And you know, friend, I was so excited. I just left and I started whistling to myself. Oh, man, I'm thinking when I get home, my woman going to be so glad to see me. I know she going to open the door. And she going to open her arms. And I know she going to open. I was wrong as hell. I tell you right now, she was waiting on me all right, right in the middle of the living room floor. I couldn't believe what was happening. The woman went crazy. She stopped yelling and screaming at me, talking about it. I didn't quite understand it at first, you know what I mean? So mean, you're the meanest old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you said so, I'm gonna have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. No. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack.
Yeah.
Don't you come back no more. Hit the road, Jack.
Someday.
Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'm gonna have to pack my things and go.
That's right, oh, hit the road, baby. Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road,
oh, baby.
Jack. Don't you come back no more.
Oh, baby, oh, baby.
Hit the road, Jack. Yeah. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road,
oh, mama. What you said?
Don't you come back no more.
You can't mean that.
Don't you come back no more.
After all, I sacrificed.
Don't you come back.
After all, you put me through.
Don't you come back no more.
You will have the nerve to tell me to my face.
Don't you come back no more.
You're making me mad here now, woman.
Don't you come back.
I don't think you know who you're talking to.
Don't you come back.
I don't have to take that kind of talk from nobody.
Don't you come back no more.
Say what?
Don't you come
back. Yeah, I know it's your house, but there's no reason for you to keep telling me that.
Don't you come back no more.
Say what?
Don't you come back.
I dare you to say it again.
Don't you come back.
What?
Don't you come back.
Are you jam?
Don't you come back.
That's our version of the Republican Convention anthem. That's how we introduce it tonight, just for the fun of it. Thank you, Ray Charles and the Ray Charles Singers. That's good. We're here gathering our wits. You know, we were honoring, you know, again, Octavia Butler, whose prescient novel, The Parable of the Sower. It's gloomy. It's gloomy. But we got to be gloomy first. We got to be realistically gloomy first. And the novel begins on the full... She wrote it in 1993, and the novel begins on the full moon, July 21st, 2024. So we take it from there, and then we add to invite everyone to be story rewrite, going, let's go down, let's look at it all, let's look at everything, and then wonder and proclaim our availability for a broad coalition of humans and across all borders and wolves and everything on life, you know, to whatever. Because what is that full moon? What is that full moon? I think, you know, either Octavia Butler knew astrology or didn't need to, you know, because it's the full moon with the sun in Cancer, the last degree, all of life. Opposite the moon in Capricorn, the Council of Wise Women rising to the occasion, and other good people, opposite Pluto. So it's life and death. It's life and death full moon. It's Fujibada, you know. And then it's got a and on the full moon, Venus is 11 plus Leo, and when Octavia was born, her Pluto is 11 Leo. Just astrologers would note that. It's a very spicy degree, and here comes kind of the fifth act. It's an undercover agent degree, and it reminds us about positive intrigue. You know, the utopian Fourier said, in any ideal community, we must allow for the passion for intrigue, because when people conspire to do something good, right, do something good with the intrigue, it draws upon more elegant parts of the psyche than up to no goodness, right? So we're not going to let, you know, negative intrigue, the Dementors, and remember, the Dementors are always and only self-referential, and that for all of us, altruism is self-interest. We're all in this dream together. It's a powerful full moon because it is life and death are on the table. The sun's at 20 on Sunday. The sun's at 29 Cancer. It's trining Neptune at 29 Pisces, exactly, going all the powerful imagery, all the powerful guides, all the powerful strong women, all the mythologies, all the practices that have ever drawn forth the best of humans to collaborate with everything are available. All the past, present, future, there it is. You know, and we've referenced it before. Neptune's at the last degree of the zodiac, stationing there. The Kogi in Colombia had said, all right, you humans, you've got, you know, from now until, well, they actually said from now. now is the time to make everybody's, to plight one's troth, to pledge one's dedication to flora, fauna, fungi, to all that we love in the earth, because it's all on the ballot. And they picked this time, and they said what everybody does now determines, you know, if more than a third of the planet is alive by the winter solstice of 2026, a year and a half, you know. And we go, well, it could be, sounds reasonable. but in any case, their sense of urgency. And we do have backup. It's like, well, what's the thing? I mean, the Dementors of Doom, you know, so organized and so many groups and Christian fascism and the thing. And what do we have? We have our increasing playful tolerance of each other. Yes, we do. Our dedication to embodying democracy and civility. There's a lot of scrappiness out there, but we can, you know, transcend it as long as it's playful and democratically respectful. And we have what Octavia would tell us, you know, what she would know now, I presume to say, her one Earth planet, Mars at 23 Taurus, Uranus is pretty right on that right now, is our willingness to cooperate with everything we love, you know, and to plight our troth, and with liberating trickster ingenuity that likes impossible odds, it likes against all odd, it likes those things, you know, and again, let me see if I can make it through. Make it through reading about Harriet Tubman without weeping. It's this great article and this wonderful book that I aspire to get by Taya Miles. So many good people. And remember, Jupiter's stationing. It takes us all the way into next year at the 11 plus Gemini, which is, you know, strong black woman, strong black women stand up for their rights, assert their rights, and it's like, yeah, that's a metaphor for may we contact that part of ourselves inside, but also, you know, there it is outside. So Harriet Tubman and this book by Taya Miles, I've mentioned it before, called Night Flyer. And I love, you know, Frederick Douglass, because here comes effective participatory animism that, you know, she did it. Frederick Douglass named the midnight sky and the silent stars as witnesses to Tubman's actions. And she ferried people escaping enslavement along the Underground Railroad, recognizing, as Tubman had insisted all alone, that she did not make her stand alone. The stars had watched over her, and she would in turn observe their light, seeing in these gaseous bodies a host of incandescent messengers. Harriet knew the North Star. Her associate, Helen Titlock, remembered that was the one thing she insisted that she was always sure of, the North Star. Waterways had shored her up, too, welcoming Tubman into their depth and allowing her and her party safe passage. Her most intimate natural allies seemed to have been those sprung from the soil, weeds that defied ordered hierarchical society, and trees that populated the forest where she walked, worked, hid, wended her way north. She may even have relied on landmark rocks to help her chart her course or escape, or rested on a flat, smooth stone. By the end of her life, she had herself become like these various features of nature, a guiding star, a giving tree, a saving river, and a bracing rock. Ah, I made it through that sentence. Oof, it's so powerful. You know, nature to Tubman was present and responsive. The trees, water, star, plants, and animals around her were spiritually material. She approached each day of living on Earth with a luminous pragmatism, a fierce love of family, even as its members were picked apart, her determination to free her relatives, her birthed a mission that mushroomed. She launched a campaign of liberating hundreds of others and caring for their needs. And it goes on, this wonderful article in this wonderful book. I made it through without completely weeping, although it's so, let me try it again, because it's such a great phrase. By the end of her life, let's all take this in, you know. By the end of her life, Harriet had herself become like these various features of nature, a guiding star, a giving tree, a saving river, and a bracing rock. Okay, that's right. Whew. There we go. So, you know, back to our narrative, you know, what about this full moon? Well, it's an undercover agent full moon, and it is, you know, Octavia Butler, I'm just introducing her to Harriet Tubman, going, there we go, we want these strong black women as part of our team. They will save democracy if we go along with that. Anyway, whatever, however we want to phrase it or feel it, or contact that part of ourselves that so admires us. And that was part of also, you know, Heather Cox Richardson. Oh, she's so good. I was feeling pretty gloomy, because we can, and we all want to back each other up on Monday, going, oh, but there's humor to be had. We'll aspire to get to J.D. Vance. There's humor and undoing. Okay, but on Monday, when I was feeling gloomy, and maybe I was, you know, Heather Cox Richardson convened a free, you know, Zoom session on Project 2025 and how to be an effective citizen. There were 70,000 people on that call. I mean, not that one knew, you know, but it was, it's like, okay, good people are also really organized now. Oh, what a relief. And she and Heather, I highly recommend, you know, I mean, to be a citizen and to be informed, Heather Cox Richardson is one of those people. You know, we want many sources, no one source, but she's a great source for history, constitution, government, and teasing it into pertinence now and the danger of now. You know, very informed, calm, organized, directing. It's like, oh, our team is good. And she spoke a lot about how women's movement has changed American society over and over and over again. And it's not to exclude men, but women are, well, everybody's under threat, but women are especially under threat. You know, what's at risk? Life on Earth. You know, and then, and again, I go with AOC and Jasmine Crockett and Stacey Abrams and the, you know, Black Twitter and the Black Congressional in there saying, are you insane? You know, there's value to not having a charismatic leader. You know, Biden's our guy. You kick him out, we can't get on the ballot. Other people will be like, no, I want to. But maybe for fun, we at this point play the very short segment of Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s conversation with Trump. And just as a sidebar, you know, Joe Biden is born on RFK Sr.'s birthday. So who knows what kinky father stuff is being worked out. Just like Trump picked J.D. Vance, who looks like a spiffier version of his son, there's a lot of unworked out Saturn stuff here. But maybe now, just we listen to this conversation, phone conversation, between Trump and RFK Jr., that RFK Jr.'s son filmed and posted on Twitter, X, and then took it down later, but it had already been captured. So just, you know, just here it is. Here's the phone conversation.
I agree with you, man. Something's wrong with that whole system. Yeah. And it's the doctors you find. Remember I said, I want to do small doses. When you feed a baby, Bobby, a vaccination that has like 38 different vaccines, and it looks like it's meant for a horse, not a, you know, 10-pound or 20-pound baby. it looks like you should be giving a horse this. And do you ever see the size of it, right? You know, it's this massive. And then you see the baby all of a sudden starting to change radically. I've seen it too many times. And then you hear that it doesn't have an impact, right? But you and I talked about that a long time ago. Anyway, I would love you to do something. And I think it would be so good for you and so big for you. And we're going to win. You know, we're way ahead of the guy. And, you know, he's interesting. He was very nice, actually. He called me. And he said, how did you choose to move to the right? Because, you know, so I guess that's, people see it, you know, if I was looking straight up, right? He said, how did, I said, I was just showing a chart. I didn't have to tell him the chart was on all the people pouring into our country, right? But I just turned my head to show the chart. And something wrapped me. It felt like a giant, like the world's largest mosquito. And it was. It was a bullet going around. You know, it was, what do they call that? An AR-15 or something. That was a big gun. Those are pretty tough guns, right?
Right. Well, there we have it. It's not, you know, condemning, but it is interesting. You know, basically what it distills down to is how boring Trump is. Well, how bored they are with each other. It's like, that's the kind of phone call, like, from Trump. Again, any other situation, like at a party, you'd go, oh, excuse me, I must go over here. Or on the phone, you're like, yes, yes, I've got to get off of this. Just ranting on and on, droning on about telling RFK Jr. what he already thinks or knows, you know, anyway. But just, you know, it's a season of revelation. So it's not like, but you can hear Trump doing what he does. I would love you to do something, he says, and I think it'll be so good for you and so big for you, and we're going to win. And there's Kennedy, you know, bored and kind of worn out a little bit, who goes, yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's just a note, you know, we go, right, and, you know, you know, I go with many allies, you know, and Jamie Yeager past shows on July 4th and all, who basically say, a vote not for Biden is a vote for Trump, which is a vote for planetary death. That's how I think. I mean, that's what I think. You know, and some people go, and people have little bits of tantrum yoga, and we go, all right, well, you know. And as has been pointed out by the not trustworthy MSNBC, but you know, it says it doesn't sound like a conversation between two rivals, no, competing for the same office. Rather, it comes across as a nice cooperative chat, et cetera, which probably won't help the chatter about Kennedy deliberately playing the role of a spoiler candidate. We go, yeah. Yeah. I've discovered somebody on Facebook who's got, you know, 8 bazillion million followers, but Jim Wright, I didn't know, but he's really interesting and savvy, and I copied so many things. You can find me on Facebook, Caroline Casey, Coyote Network News. Although Facebook is very touchy, very quirky, tyrannical. They take down a lot of stuff about Project 2025. And basically, Heather Kotick-Richardson was saying, you know, and she put, so organized, she puts out all these things going, and here, everybody on the call, and you can sign up and get all this, too. You know, here's your information kit, here's a slide kit, here's, you know, how you do it, here's how you talk to everybody, you know, and then they had people from all, humble, wonderful citizen allies from all over the country with their small groups, you know, in North Carolina and Ohio and whatever, you know, organizing people to be informed and to be respectful. You know, and then there was a political strategist, Jess McIntosh, who was very good. And she just says, your energy level is the key to democracy. Right. And so discern, you know, be willing to talk to everybody and to be reciprocally informed, like, did you know about this? But don't waste time on cheese suckers, you know, people who are like, and it's like, that's true. Facebook, I have found, when I'm not disciplined, when I let my Saturn be, is chronophagic, that wonderful word, time-eating, you know, and especially it's, you know, what the strategists were saying is, you know, talk to everybody, but don't waste time on energy vampires, the wonderful energy vampire Colin Robinson from What We See in the Shadows. And he says, Yes, if I get low on energy, I can go on the internet, you know, and within minutes, I can have hundreds of strangers furious with me, and I feed on it. So there's that out there, and we all put our discerning there, you know. So political strategy is our energy level is key to democracy, right? So there's that. And then just, you know, remember the boomerang. Remember our boomerang, we are practicing with the protective pewter shield. I like putting it around anybody, especially Biden, just to, it's part of it, you know, to deflect any negativity and to give somebody their own privacy that they might do what is good. In Doris Lessing's novel, that takes us back to Doris Lessing and Octavia Butler, their resonance with each other, you know, everybody comes here with things to do and options. You know, and the danger of expedient opportunism. And at crucial moments, you know, there might be somebody who's got a big decision to make whether to support democracy or kill everybody, you know, and they're backstage. And the spirits, the Harriet Tubman and the Octavia Butler, if you're lucky, you know, are there going, no, not expediency. Remember what you came to do. Remember the great good you came to do. Ooh. You know, remember that. And in the movie 7 Days in May, a great thriller from the 1960s by Fletcher Knebel, John Kennedy's favorite movie before he got shot, he is the movie. You know, it's about a coup, a military coup. But it makes the point, you know, things get so corrupt and so anti-democratic that some of the coup plotters are like, oh, I'm out. Not everybody, but enough, right? It's like Lives of Others, you know, the sociopathic heart can bloom again. So that's why we're willing to talk to everybody, you know. So boomerang is in play, even if we don't activate it ourselves. We love, you know, dim-witted Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, God, you know, but saying, oh, Biden, you know, can't speak without a teleprompter, and then it's just too wonderful. He got up on stage and he goes, and I want to introduce the Attorney General of, oh, there goes the teleprompter. He didn't even know who he was introducing, North Carolina. And he just lumbers off. He runs off. He furtively escapes. Anyway, ha-ha, boomerang. Boomerang meaning may anything up to no good go back to its source with a pie in the face. That was particularly excellent. You know, again, the kingship thing, we turn to many things, and hundreds of groups and heritage and organizing and all the wealthy, but we turn to the Panchatantra that says, what is wealth? You know, it's good friendship and learned allies, better with the learned dwell, even though it be in hell, than with fools roam palaces that gods call home. And we go, yes, thank you. And from Terry Pratchett and the We Free Men, no kings, we free men, ne king, ne queen, we will not be fooled again. We will not be fooled again. And their powerful mantra to dispel bamboozling glamour, yon tan tethera, which, as Kathy Gallagher reminds me, is just 1, 2, 3 in McFeagle language, but yon tan tethera. So if you're going to be brave enough to watch, or amused enough to watch, the unfolding, the lottery, Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, you know, kind of hate fest, and just, you know, whatever. But feel free to, you know, yon tan tethera, may it dissolve. Boomerang, you know, Dementors always and only self-referential, you know, could get you through. And then there's a whole lot more, but briefly, as we come to the end here, there's a lot going on. Okay. So I just, again, the full moon Sunday, it is the full moon before the Democratic Convention, which is a wild full moon. Remember, nothing about this language and nothing about life now is what's going to happen. What's going to happen is the ridiculous, irrelevant, booby-prized. What's available with which to cooperate? So it's like, woo, full moon, big change, you know? And that's part of the dynamic of beautiful astrological language. It can be descriptive. The word disaster means against the star. And it can be guiding. The word consider means with the stars, right? and for all of us, you know, it's like all the questions that were asked at the Delphic Oracle, they were sensible. Are our plans in accord with the larger pulse of creation? And if not, what should we do to come into accord? So we love that. And then just part of the the dynamic of stagecraft, there's a lot of smart conversation going on. Because when I posted Columbo being suspicious about the photo op. I mean, it's like the photo op. And, you know, it's no certainty. But some of the left-wing progressive wonder police going, no wondering allowed, no speculation. And one of them even said, I find it very tiresome. It's like, what an upper crust twit kind of a word, tiresome. Yeah, I'll be gone. We're wondering. We're not imposing certainty or conspiracy or the Secret Service. Was it? We're just noting, you know, and then, you know, part of the themes, you know, is that, you know, Trump does have instinctive stagecraft. Remember when he shoved the ambassador from Moldavia, you know, out of the way to just hit the mark, right? So he does have that. But nonetheless, as though it were a dream, it's like, ooh, the Iwo Jima, the Secret Service, not so much covering him, but framing him as he emerges. And we go, It's sketchy no matter what, without certainty. Just, it's sketchy no matter what. We're not implying, like, oh, the Secret Service was in on the thing or the poor lad who, you know, who committed suicide by killing other people and doing things. But we do track, you know, Thomas Crooks, his Saturn is 12th Cancer, which is the U.S. Sun. It's a public dream. We dreamed the unhinged, conservative, registered Republican, confused young man who wanted a mission, did this thing. And winged the ear. We don't know. It is the thing, you know, people I know who know guns go, you don't. If an AR-15 bullet hit your ear, it would be, we don't know. But we can say, may whatever's true come out, Anyway, there'll be more on this, you know, and again, more backstage on Patreon, Patreon Visionary Activist Show. And coyotenetworknews.com for more of all of this and our conversation. Good luck to everybody. Thanks always, Kirsten Thomas. How wonderful. And we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.